There is a very popular song, I'm told, called Adama Vashamayim. And I know it's popular because I asked my kids, have you ever heard of it? And they said, yeah, of course. You want to hear it? I said, no, I don't want to hear it. There was a competition of a cappella groups from yeshiva high schools yesterday, and this was a popular song sung by one of the yeshivas. So what's the issue? So apparently there was a write-up on matzav.com where someone explained the origins of the song. And I was in the OU office when someone came to Rav Schechter with the write-up and explained the origins of this song and wanted to know if it's mutter to listen to the song, to sing this song. So it sounds pretty, you know, Adama, ground, Shemayim, heaven. Those are two Hebrew words, you know. So like just like when you see a store that has Hebrew lettering on the front, that automatically means it's kosher, right? Especially in Israel. So this has to be kosher, right? So let's discuss. What's the metzius over here? So I don't know the song. I'm sure many of you do. But I did look up the lyrics. So in the way matzav.com, whoever wrote the article, describes it, I'm sure you've heard of the song Adama V'Shamayim, an often requested song. Some people know and understand the lyrics, most don't. But 99.9% of our community doesn't know the song's origin. So here goes, working backward. Before Mutti Weiss, a.k.a. Matt Dubb, recorded the song, it was recorded and popularized by a Buddhist-style Israeli group by the name of Segel. Little details given by Segel that the song is originally in English. The original song is Strong Wind, Deep Water. It's a song by an earth-worshipping pagan cult translated into Hebrew almost word for word for the Segel group. A Google search will show many results confirming that the song is of pagan origins. I appreciate this is not intuitive information, the lyrics are subtle, but the fact is that a song by earth worshippers describing earth worship has crept into our community and we're now dancing at our simchas to an Avodah Zarah song, literally. If Rabbanim knew the above about this song, many might say that one is not allowed to say the bracha Shas Simcha Bimono at a chasana where the song is played. Okay, that's his own editorial comment at the end. Apparently, the religion that the song originated with is a religion that believes in a moon goddess and a horned god, and the deities are regarded as in a henotheistic way as having many different divine aspects which can in turn be identified with many diverse pagan deities. Essentially, if you look up the definition of Avodah Zarah in the dictionary, it seems that that's where much of this originated. What are the lyrics of the song? So translated into Hebrew, Adama v'shamayim, chome esh tzlil hamayim, ani margish zot bigufi, Biruchi b'nishmati, heya 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 heya. So which identifies parts of the world, the ground, the heavens, the heat of fire, the pure waters, that I feel it in my body and my spirit and my soul. That is, none of that is Jewish, right? There's nothing Jewish about any of that. That is all we don't believe in any of it. In any of that, that sounds like if you were to say, if you were an earth worshipping pagan cult, like what would the kind of words you would write? What would they be? That would be what you would write. In fact, you could find the song with the exact words just in English, and even with the heya, on ourchants.org, which is a collection of prayer chants for Avodah Zarah, essentially. So does that mean that it's us? Meaning we enjoy it, and it's got a bunch of random Hebrew words, you know, so what difference does it make? So is that problematic? So there's a lot of interesting stuff out there, discussion out there about music that comes from objectionable places. Probably most famously of recent vintage, at least, or somewhat recent, Rav Moshe has a tshuva, Neven Ezer Chelek Aleph Simen Tzadivav, about songs that are sung by a Rasha. So Rav Moshe was not asked about a Rasha per se, he was asked about Shirei Kodesh, that are actually sung to lyrics of Kedusha, and were composed by a Ben Torah, who later started playing for mixed audiences and the lack of tznius, and you can figure out, if you have any sense whatsoever, who Rav Moshe was asked about. But Rav Moshe was asked whether you're allowed to listen to the songs composed by this person. So Rav Moshe writes that it's not a problem singing the songs that he composed prior to his going off into this lack of tznius. And the proof is that the Mishnais in the end of Maaser Sheni and in Perek Egla Arufa attribute takanos to Yochanan Kohen Gadol, even though some say that he's the one who served 80 years as a Kohen Gadol before becoming a Tzduki. Obviously, once those takanos were accepted, we weren't going to be able to uproot the takanos, but we didn't have to give him credit for them. And the fact that the Mishnah still gives him credit for them tells you that apparently whatever he did before is okay. And the Rambam holds that it's a different Yochanan Kohen Gadol, Rav Moshe points out, but it doesn't seem that that's why the Rambam holds is different Yochanan Kohen Gadol, because that we otherwise wouldn't be allowed to give him credit. It doesn't seem that was the issue. When a min writes a Sefer Torah, you burn it. But let's say a regular from Talmud Chacham, you know, Mamin writes a Sefer Torah, and then he becomes a min afterwards. Do you then burn the Sefer Torah? Of course not. Then the Sefer Torah remains kosher. And therefore, says Rav Moshe, someone who wrote a song, B'kashrusa, even if he turned sour afterwards, the song would still be kosher. And then he says, even songs that were written after the guy turned bad might still be mutter, because the entire isser of hanachas shem l'rashayim is only in matters of kedusha. If they were to have a medical or scientific breakthrough, you'd certainly be permitted to associate their name with it. For some reason, Rav Moshe doesn't say medical or scientific, he says medical or auto-mechanical breakthrough. I don't know. Be machines. Maybe it means computers. But if they were to come up with some other great chiddush, so we would certainly be allowed to mention the name. So it's a musical chiddush that they came up with. So there's nothing wrong with mentioning their names or singing their songs. And he distinguishes between, however, very importantly, between an apikores and a mumla teavon. Meaning a person who stamas taivas and does things as a result of their taivas is very different than a person who is who's an apikores, because you're not supposed to be maniach. So that line is the only line that's relevant to us over here, meaning if over here we have something that is apikorsis or worse, so then we have to be very, very careful. In Shuvas Yabia Omer Chelek Vav Archaim Simen Zayin, Rav Avadia writes that you're allowed to sing the tunes even if the source of the tune is impure, but you have to replace the words. And he quotes a Kaf HaChaim who says, Mi yitein sheyizaru ha-mishorim shlo yinagnu ha-kadosh v'ha-kedusha b'nigunei ha-goyim, that we should be careful not to use the non-Jewish tunes for kadosh and kedusha, she'adeim em yovelo hirhurim ra'im, u'pigul hu lo yirotze, that a person is going to have hirhurim ra'im because he's going to think of the original lyrics, and that's pigul lo yirotze, v'ha-heder tov mimtziuso, better to refrain than to do. However, Rav Vadya, after quoting the Kaf HaChaim, says, Ein lachosh l'zeh, if people associate that as the tune of kadosh or the tune of the Amnaron Tefillah, or the tune of whatever you attach it to, so they're not going to associate it back with what it originated with. The tune isn't Mekabel Tumah. Rav Vadya goes on to quote someone else who says, Umeir ani alai shamayim va'aretz, shebiyosi bi'ir gedola shel chacham v'shel sofrim Samirna. What's the city of Samirna? Am I pronouncing it wrong? Anyone know? In Turkey? Okay. There were great musical experts there. They would go on the Christian holidays in order to get musical lessons to see what they're playing, what's the hot new music, and then they would figure out how to match it to the tefillah of Yom Noraim, shetzrich machna gedola, v'yimisadr me'osim kolos hanegina kedishim kedoshos hafle v'fella, and they would make these beautiful tunes. Umavur mizeh she'en lahakpid al hanigun el al hamilos hakedoshos v'asvar mechras kein. Says Rav Avadia, it sounds like the concern is not about the tune, the concern is about the words. Because if we don't say that, where are we ever going to have any nigunim from? The kolos arevim. We don't know the tunes. There was an argument once between two sets of kohanim in Mashul which tune to use for birchas kohanim. So one of the groups tainted that they have a masora that their tune for birchas kohanim goes back to the Beis Hamikdash, to the shir of the levim in the Beis Hamikdash. I'm somewhat skeptical, right? I mean, we don't have the traditions that go back that far. Wherever we went, that's where we learned the nigunim from. All of the tunes in the Sephardic communities are Arab tunes, and all of the tunes in the Ashkenazi communities are Christian tunes. That's just the way, that's where we got the tunes from. But he says he doesn't think that the words, you can use the words, but he doesn't think the tunes are problematic. On the other hand, Rav Menashe Klein in Mishnah Halachos Chelek Vav Sim Kuf Ches and the Deber Tzin Rav in Ber Moshe Chelek Vav Sim Nayin Dalet said using the tune that was used originally in another religion is worse than using any sefer written by any sinner. It's absolutely, absolutely terrible. In the Tshuvas Vayashav Hayam, Chelek Beisim and Zayin, Rav Yaakov Moshe Hillel says that the tunes from Goyim, even if Meikara Lo Chubra La Milim, Lo Diznos V'Lo Davod Zara, even if originally the words were not Avod Zara or Znos words, Kol Shechibra Goy O Rasha Nachol Lo Lishma Osa. If it was originally composed by a goy or a rasha, you shouldn't hear it and certainly should not sing it. Shekoach hapol benifal, it has an impact on a person. That's what Rav Yaakov Hillel writes, that a person should be careful about the origins of the music that they are that they're hearing. And then he goes on to say, ulegabi nigunim shemeikarish shorsham mishirei agoyim shelofnei asaros meos b'shanim. But if it goes back hundreds of years already, no one even remembers or recognizes where it originated anymore, right? And that we can't ask her. How can you ask her such a thing? If it's already been used as a niggun that we use for Kaddish or for Kedusha for a century, it's hard to say that the kochos of Tumar, some are going to attach to us, says Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Hillel, and therefore he thought that would be at least Ein Limchos, but probably even Mutter. Now, that's it when it comes to if it was written by a Rasha or written in that context. What about objectionable words? So one form of objectionable words is just nivel peh. That you find very often. And that we know the Gemara in Shabbos, Avlam Gimel, Bavon, nivel peh, because of nivel peh, tzaros, rabos, gzeros, kashos, mischadshos, a lot of tzaros and terrible gzeros came about, ubachure, sona, yisrael, mesim, yisomim, valmanos, tzaakin, veinenin, and terrible, terrible things happened to the Jewish people as a result of nivel peh. The Gemara in Ksuba says that kolam anavel is piv, yotzi davar maguna mi piv, afilu nigzor lov shim shanu latova, napach lov l'ra'a, someone who says something inappropriate, a nivel peh from his mouth. Nivel peh does not mean the two words you're not allowed to say on television. Nivel peh means to speak about matters of that belong in private, because of their intimate nature, and speaking about them publicly. That's obvious in the Sugya and Ksubas, where the Gemara says, HaKol Yodin Kala Lama Nichnas Al Chuppa. Everybody knows what's going to be happening when a Kala goes to the Chuppa. Elo Kala Menavel Es Piv, Yotzi Davar Maguna Mi Piv. But a person who engages in Nivel Peh means talks about that. That is what we call Nivel Peh. That's where the Shem Shana Tova. That's one type of bad lyric. Someone asked me last week that they like to listen to music that has curse words in it sometimes. Is that a problem? So, yeah, that's a problem. Meaning it's not right, because those types of, I mean, not because of the curse words are just inappropriate. That's what we call that's what we call the lack of lishna nikiya, the lack of lishna ma'alya. That's the first sugya in Maseches Pesachim. But in addition, those kinds of songs tend to have plenty of nivel peh in it as well. Now, what about Avodah Zarah lyrics? Shulchan Aruch in Yardei Asim Kuf Mem Beis Siftes Vav says that you're not allowed to hear Klei Shir Shel Avodas Kochavim, but it seems that refers to church instruments, right? However, we know the halacha. Anything that's nonsense is chukas akum. Why? Why is anything that's nonsense, any practice that is done, that is absolute, that doesn't make any, that doesn't have tam, why is it that the Ramah Paskins that that's an isra of chukas akum? Because it might stem from Avodah Zarah. Might stem from Avodah Zarah. Meaning, if you can't explain why people do something, like Rav Shechter always gives the example, that, if just because the French eat French fries, it doesn't mean that I'm not allowed to eat French fries. Because I understand why they eat French fries. They are delicious. But something that makes no sense, why you would do it. So that, yeah, you always have to be choshesh. Maybe it comes from Avodah Zarah. And that's why it's aser. So if that's the case of something that might come from Avodah Zarah. Something you know comes from Avodah Zarah is most certainly going to be very, very problematic. Rav Moshe in Yardei Chelik Beis Menon Gimel says that a teacher is not allowed to teach texts that were written for the sake of Avodah Zarah by those who worship the Avodah Zarah. And the only svara to be makel is that nobody worships the ancient Avodah Zarah. He's talking about an academic context. So if nobody worships that ancient Avodah Zarah anymore, then there's no chashash that a person is going to be drawn to it. But there's no doubt that if you're repeating a mantra that was said by Ovdei Avodah Zarah, who are still Ovdei Avodah Zarah and still exist hayom, still exist today, very, very hard to imagine what the kula would be. The Gemara Maseches Chagiga says that Acher, my friend Rabbi Warren Sinman pointed out to me, the Gemara Chagiga says that Acher had turned bad and Zemer Yevani lo pasak mipume. That one of the things about Acher was that Zemer Yevani, the Greek Nigunim, lo pasak mipume, was something that was that he was always singing. And we assume, the Gemara assumes, that that had a tremendous impact. So when this person, when this Rav in the OU came to Rav Shechter to ask him what he thought, he looked at the words, he says, these words are absolute shtus. Even in the Hebrew version, earth and wind, I feel in my soul. He said, listening to the song is absolutely chukas akum, and it's a maisav avodah zarah, because he's praying to an avodah zarah when you say these words. Even though it's sung in Hebrew, it's praying to avodah zarah in Hebrew is not mutter either. So it's clearly a takeoff of the avodah zarah song. So the exact quote of Shachter said, so Rebbe, what do you think? He said, I think it's terrible. That was the exact quote. Rav Willig, because DRS participated in that competition, the a cappella competition, so after the fact, after Rabbi Kamenetsky heard about the issue, which was after the competition was over already, he called Rabbi Willig, and Rabbi Willig didn't want to use the word usser, per se, but he said it's definitely not a good idea to sing the song. The words are way too close to Avodah Zarah. He said, but you can sing the tune without the words. So he thought, similar to those shittos that we learned before, that singing the tune without the words might be mutter. So normally, you know, to round out a Temin al HaShir, you find the shita that's mekel. I just have a hard time imagining that anyone who's familiar with the background, you know, any posik is familiar with the background, would be mekel. Because I just don't see, like, where, you know, to actually sing the words of Avodah Zarah, even the words of shtus. But words of Avodah Zarah would seem to be highly problematic. So we should probably change the words, come up with something nice, find a pasuk in Tehillim or something to put it to, or you know, or just do away with it entirely. There are plenty of other good songs, I'm sure. I'm not so musical. I'm sure there are plenty of other good songs that can equally rile up a crowd and get everyone excited and interested in dancing at a chasana. Yeah.